Welcome to the Mindful Moments for Families and Schools podcast. This is Kelly Winkler, your host. If you are a parent or a teacher who would like to have a more peaceful, calm, and centered environment, then you are in the right place. In this podcast, we will learn to weave yoga and mindfulness into your daily routines to help both you and your children be able to regulate your emotions, feel connected, and be resilient. I'm excited to share these incredible tools with you, so let's get started. Welcome back to Mindful Moments for Families and Schools. This is your host, Kelly. Today I'm excited to have on Betty Larea. Betty is a poet, the author of Lucinda's Magical Yoga Adventure, and a certified yoga instructor who has been teaching yoga to children ages 6 months to 18 and their families for over 20 years. She received her 200-hour yoga teacher certification from Three Sisters Yoga in New York City and has certifications from Karma Kids Yoga and Rainbow Kids Yoga. Betty is the founder of Be Yoga, Be Love and provides her yoga and arts curriculum, author visits, enrichment programs, staff development training, and events for children, families, and educators in schools, libraries, bookstores, and yoga studios throughout the country. She enjoys integrating yoga with poetry, art, music, storytelling, and mindful play to inspire kids to be and express themselves while promoting literacy and life skills. Betty is also a book doula who offers mentoring for aspiring children's book authors and mindful play shops to support parents, teachers, and caregivers in connecting with and inspiring cooperation with their children in their lives. Betty loves reading, writing poetry, creating collage art, dancing, playing, exploring nature, and discovering the wonder in each moment with her young daughter. I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation with Betty. We talk all about children's yoga, mindful play, and how that is so important in parenting. We also talk about her children's book and how she's now mentoring new children's book authors. It's a really wonderful conversation, and Betty's over 20 years of experience is so wonderful because she shares her knowledge and the tools that she has learned over these years that are so beneficial for children and their families. So let's get right to it. Welcome, Betty. I'm so happy to
you. Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's always such an honor to get to speak to people that are really out there with the same mission that I have. So I'm thrilled to have you on, and we're going to get to all that. But I would love for you to tell us just about you and your journey with your own yoga practice.
Sure. So I took my first yoga class, I think, at a gym that I belong to. I just kind of stumbled into it, and I loved it. After the class, I felt so connected to my body, and I felt my emotions kind of like bubbling to the surface. There was like some release, and I was just feeling so so good, you know, like mind, body, spirit, and I really felt that yoga was something that I needed to continue doing to just really deepen that connection with myself.
I love that. And so where were you in your life around that time when you first stumbled into that class?
I was probably in my late 20s, I would say. So kind of a late bloomer, but it was, it was something that I had been interested in. I knew people in my life that were yoga practitioners, and so I was curious, and so I'm really glad that I stumbled into that class.
Yeah, I mean, it's never too late. I was in my where I actually got a consistent practice. I dabbled a little bit in college and a little bit during my pregnancies with prenatal yoga, but I never really found a consistent practice until my 30s. So, I mean, gosh, it's never too late to start, right?
Right. Oh,
And
definitely.
then when did that interest and that really strong connection turn into an interest in teaching yoga?
Well, I began teaching when I collaborated with another teacher who was big into yoga. She was a good friend of mine. And we had this idea to create a, it started off as a wellness center. And then we just kind of narrowed it down to see like how we can get it out in the world. She wanted to bring all of the yoga and mindfulness practices. And I was, I'm a poet, a visual artist. And so I really love the arts. And so we had this idea to bring our ideas together to create this holistic curriculum for children. And we both love teaching. She was a special ed teacher, and I had been teaching in the public school system for a few years. And so we wanted to bring this program to children and to help them to tap into all of their strengths and using all the different learning styles. So we wanted it to be holistic, and the yoga was a big part of it, for them to get into their bodies and connect with their emotions and express themselves through the arts, through singing and poetry and visual arts. So that's how it all started back in 2001. We ran this business for about 4 years. And it was back when yoga for children was very new. There wasn't a lot of people out there doing it. So it was really nice to be able to bring that, especially to New York City, to different communities, YMCAs and schools, private schools, public schools, daycare centers, you name it. We were pretty much all over Manhattan. And also New Jersey, which is where I lived at the time.
I love it. I mean, it just is, I just always feel that the arts and yoga lend themselves to, be married together like that so well. Because I really think, like, if you're not in touch, if you're not in your body and sort of in touch with your mind and your body and your spirit, your creative juices can't really flow, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, I mean, it's like they go so well together. And I think for children, that's just an amazing opportunity for them to be in touch with themselves and then for to let, they're so creative anyway, kids. And then so to foster that in them, it must have been amazing.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it definitely was. I love to see how children blossom and come out of their shells, or every child gets what they need from yoga. So it was just beautiful to witness that part of their natural development. But like you said, like the enhancement of being given an outlet to express themselves or to move their bodies and to use their imaginations and everything which comes so naturally to children, but to be able to channel that energy into, something that they can carry with them for the rest of their lives.
Yes, that's the big key that I always love, that what we're teaching with kids yoga is life skills that they can use for the rest of their lives. So I love that. So you did that for 4 years. So going in and out of schools and working with all those different children, what do you really think are, we talked a little, we're talking a little bit about it already, but the most benefit we were talking in terms of children, but for parents and teachers and the caregivers, for them to be exposed to the tools as well, what do you think the benefit of that is?
Well, I as a mom now, like, back then, or even, prior to having a child, I always knew that kids was only like half of it. But I obviously had no real, concrete life experience. So, I would be talking about how important it is to, to teach your children these skills. And what I think for me was the missing, and I didn't really grasp how parenting is so, like all-consuming, like immersive. Like, you're in this, you're being thrown into this totally new world. And a lot of times, those tools that we have, they sort of, they don't necessarily often get used, because we're so, like, just trying to care for this tiny human and figure out, like, this whole, new world that we're part of. And I think that connection to ourselves is so critical. The being able to model the mindfulness, and to not necessarily teach them, but to be that for your child, so that they can see what it looks like to breathe, to take time for yourself, to connect in whatever way, like, that they be able to witness that, so they can, see it in another, see it in their parent who they're with, or their teacher who they're with, most of the day.
Yeah, that's really it. Like, it's so great to have, people like you and I coming into the schools and doing these programs with the kids. But that's one of the reasons why I love teaching family yoga classes, because I really think that it's important for the parents to be able to learn these skills and tools, because they're and the teachers, they need to model that for the kids, right? Because we always say we can tell the kids what to do, but when we model it for them, and when we show them how to use it, how we're using it in our everyday, it's so much more impactful. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So that's really an important piece that I hope to, that's the with this podcast, that's an important piece that I hope parents are able and teachers are able to take these tools that we come on here and we talk about, and really start utilizing them for themselves first, and then bring them to the kids and model those, and practice with the children. Do you practice with your own daughter at home?
I do. I do. She, she has all the props, all the tools, because obviously, I've got all my toys. But she has her own. I got her own mat last year, and I don't. Sometimes I'll when I'm doing yoga, she'll come and she'll, climb on top of me. That's how toddlers
Yes.
are. But the other day, she actually pulled out her mat, and she's really getting big into the imaginative play. So she pulled out the mat. She pulled out Medi Teddy and this new little mindful buddies that we won in a giveaway, and she's like putting them all in the tiny mat. I have a tiny Medi Teddy mat too, and she, brought out the dice. Like, we've got all the props, so she's putting them all out. And she was the yoga teacher, and she's like, "Okay, Medi Teddy, do this," and she's singing songs. And so it was like really amazing to see that, even though I don't, I'll put music on. That's kind of our practice, isn't so formal. Like, it's more. I'll put on music, and she'll like crawl like a caterpillar or whatnot. But for her to actually want to do it herself and to make it, fun and playful, it was just a really special moment for me, because it's something like that she's absorbing, and she's like taking it all in, even if I'm not like, doing it with her every morning or anything like that. But we do like to play, and sometimes I'll pull out the props, and we'll pretend to be all the different stuffed animals. And so she's, in her own way, she's picking it up, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's it. That's when we don't even realize when they're watching us, we don't even realize all the stuff that's sinking in. They're like little sponges, especially at that age, right? They're just taking it all in, and it's a beautiful thing to see it come back out and like, oh, they were really watching. Yeah, I love that. So I know now with your platform, you're really working on teaching parents and teachers how to use mindful play. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the idea of mindful play kind of came to me because I really believe that, the best way to reach children is to meet them in the world that they live in, which is play. And so in teaching or trying to bring these tools to children, the easiest way to do that is to make it playful, to make it fun. And so, for me, yoga is a way of mind, using mindful play or playing mindfully, because yes, you're pretending and you're having fun, but you're also tuning into your body with the breathing, with the relaxation, with the visualization, and of course the asanas, how we move our bodies, how, what our bodies, feel like when we're connecting. We're really teaching children to access that in a playful way. So that's how the idea of mindful play came about.
Yeah, I love that. And I've been also with the families that I've been working with, talking a lot about this goes back to what we were speaking about earlier about parents utilizing the tools. And I think that if as parents and teachers, we can kind of utilize our tools to keep ourselves regulated and keep our stress levels down, we can open up ourselves to that world of play because I think it's hard sometimes when we're feeling so stressed, we feel like we don't have time to play or, like we have so many things to get done and so many things on our mind that it's sometimes hard to let go of all of that and just play with your child and just have fun. And so I think that's like a really important piece. I always say too, like if we can be regulated and kind of diminish our stress and be open to that, all the things that we quote unquote have to accomplish or get done in our day, we can do it in a more fun way. And like you said, meet the kids where they're at in a playful way. And even if it's getting our shoes on and getting ready to go out the door to school, we can, instead of rushing our child along and, everybody's yelling and everybody's escalating, we can do it in a fun way if we can kind of keep ourselves like our stress level down and like sort of be in that moment with our kid.
I love that. Yeah, and we do forget. And I think, as you were speaking, I'm just even thinking of myself because, in theory, this is like, yeah, just play with your child. But of course, when you're in that world of, like you said, you're on a schedule, you have to get out the door, you have to be somewhere, and it's not always easy as a parent to remember to kind of just pause and see where you can connect. And I think that that's the biggest part of why play is so important in parenting, is it's a means of connecting with your child in the way that they connect with the world, which is through play and just exploration. So making it fun. And also for ourselves, like you said, lightening it up, like it, our mindfulness or yoga practice may not look like the way it did before we had children. We may not have time for like an hour and a half, vinyasa or yin yoga, or, we may not have that time, but we definitely have time to connect, through breathing and through, just even connecting with nature. Mindfulness is accessible to us, and it doesn't have to be like this elaborate thing. It can be very simple, and it can be playful and fun.
Yes, and that sort of like brings us to like the next piece of like getting started with a mindfulness practice. And you're so right, it doesn't have to be complicated. And I think that connecting piece is can be so rewarding. First of all, because there's nothing better than looking in your child's face and realizing that they feel seen and they feel like, oh, my mom or who, my caregiver, whoever it is, gets me. They see where I see the world, you know, and we have to remember that sometimes. Like we're like you said, we are so busy and it is so hard. And I am by no means saying that this is easy or that I'm perfect at it. But when we can remember to be in that moment and connect, it can be so rewarding and it can just make things so much easier because if your child feels connected to you and feels like you see them, they're going to be a lot more cooperative in whatever it is that you're doing, right? So,
Definitely.
yes. So that's great. So in simplifying it, you mentioned already a little like nature and breathing. What are some tips that you might give if somebody's like, okay, I want to start a mindfulness practice and start tuning in? What are your top tips that to help them get started?
Well, I mean, I guess the first is to make it playful. So you don't have to have these, fancy, yoga props or anything, like a bottle of bubbles, for example. Bubble breathing is an amazing way. I actually just recommended it to one of the families that I teach yoga to. One of the boys was having some trouble with nightmares and sleeping. And so I was like, just grab a bottle of bubbles and before you go to bed, have him share, any fears or anything that may be on his mind. And then just blow the, bubble and imagine it like popping and just like floating away or going away. And she said that it worked. So like something so simple that is enjoyable, like a bubble and using that, imagery, which is very concrete and very real, it really resonates with a child because it's a visual thing. So again, like a balloon for balloon, breathing and, when you're out in nature, like going for a nature walk, you can pick up a flower, a dandelion, and practice your breathing with that. So, things like that can be, just like a simple entryway for mindfulness and asking them questions, being curious about what they see around them, to ask them to notice what they see, what they hear using the senses. I mean, I could go on and on about
Yes.
it, but it's like it's because I love it so much, just it's something that I really feel that if we just take a moment to pay attention ourselves and enjoy that. We can see the world through the eyes of our children and really have that connection to everything, including ourselves and to our child.
Oh, I love it. And I know, same. I could go on and on about all these things because what's so awesome about it is that you don't need to go out and buy anything, right? You have everything you need within your body and whatever's around you. Like it doesn't matter. Like just touching, like, I do a lot with my daughter at bedtime. She struggles to fall asleep and just doing some squeezes helps, or just like having her feel the different textures of her sheet and her blanket and just like tune into like what that feels like. I mean, whatever's next to you, whatever's around you is it. That's it. That's all you need and your senses. And that's what makes it so beautiful because it's so accessible to everyone. Yeah, so I love it. So I also want to talk about your children's book. I'd love to hear what inspired you to write that. I mean, I know you're a poet and an artist, but what inspired you to write a children's yoga book?
Well, I wanted to bring that world of wonder and imagination, like that magical world that children live in, to children through having them go on this adventure. And it was inspired by just, my niece, Armani, she and I used to have a lot of nature adventures. We would, go to the park and take like a bag of her stuffed animals, and we would, have this imaginary world where, we would pretend that, they were out in nature, like talking and just having this adventure and creating this story. And I think it's a very natural thing for children, especially looking at my daughter these days, like she's always in that imaginary world. Like she's been lately like obsessed with like fishing. She's got these the magnetic fishing poles, and she's like always going fishing and let's go do this. And then she's on to the next adventure, the next imagination. And so they're constantly in that space where they get, it gets sparked their imagination by like the littlest thing. So in the story, which is about a little girl who loves yoga, she gets a magic wand. And I just remember those stories like back, just when I was growing up, those like fairy tale stories, like those really like wild, the enchanted forest kind of thing. And that's really what sparked it, is that I wanted children to experience that, and for them to see, because that's what they are experiencing when they're doing yoga. They're in that world of play where they're pretending to be dogs and cats and all kinds of nature elements. And I wanted it to be, that very real experience that I've seen and I've witnessed in children, for over the past 20 years that I've taught them, and I see it in my child and my students, that's how they experience yoga. That's how they do yoga. They play yoga. They pretend yoga. And I didn't really, at the time when I wrote the book about 6 years ago, I didn't really, see like any books out there that really captured it from the child's perspective. So I decided like I'm gonna write this because, I feel like this is what kids are experiencing while they're doing yoga.
Yes, I love it. And I mean, I just am I'm picturing your daughter with the fishing pole. And I mean, I love that age because they're so imaginative, and it's just like it's so fun to watch them play, and then to get in there with them and to really sort of spark more imagination. I mean, the book is just beautiful, the pictures are beautiful, and I just love the way it flows.
Thank you.
It flows like a yoga class, but it's also like you could break it up into to little pieces too. There's so many different ways you could utilize the book. So it's really wonderful. And I know that parents and teachers, we are always reading to kids. And of course, there's so many children's books out there, but now more and more we're starting to have more of these books like yours that incorporate movement and incorporate children kind of getting into their bodies and using mindfulness throughout the book. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that with you too, and sort of talk to, what can you say to parents and teachers about utilizing these books, in children's books, sort of in a different way than the old traditional way where kids were just sitting listening to a story.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, before we had kids yoga books, before there were any out there, would just pick up any pretty much any children's book that had some animals in it, that had some, like an interesting plot where, you're following the character and they're either, in some place in nature, and you could pretty much do yoga with it because all of the, yoga poses are generally like animals and trees, and for the most part they are nature, related. So
Yes.
I think making the book interactive, making any book interactive, as long as it has, some movement and, you know, characters that are, you know, other than like human beings. Usually you'll see, like, you know, in a children's book, there are like animals and all kinds of, you know, fun things like cars or, you know, you name it. Like, there, you know, you can pretty much turn any book into an interactive movement, yoga, you know, and even if you don't know yoga, like moving, like in
Right.
engaging them in, oh, so how does, you know, let's get in our car and how does that move? So, like sitting and pretending to drive and like moving your body and stretching from side to side. So, you know, you can just make any book into a yoga adventure. And, you know, again, by just being curious and asking them questions, and having them notice what they see and then pretending to be those characters.
I love it. And this brings us back to meeting our kids where they are, because kids don't want to sit still. That's not what their body, they're trying to explore the world in a way that, you know, is different than how adults, as we get older, explore the world and see the world. To have them sit still for a whole story, you know, is a challenge sometimes. And I know it brings a lot of frustration to a lot of classrooms and a lot of homes, because parents are like, just sit down and listen to the story. Or teachers want the kids to sit quietly in circle time and listen to this whole story. But if we can meet the kids where they're at and let them move and experience the story, just as an educator myself and as a yoga teacher, and it's like, it's the perfect way to have them listen to a story, because they're so much more engaged. They're experiencing it. They can understand it more when they're able to move their body instead of them trying to sit there and try and sit still. And I think they're focused more on wanting to move than they are on the book.
Oh, exactly. Because I just want to get into the adventure, into
Yeah,
the
right. I mean, so many times as a preschool teacher, you know, I would have kids, like, if we weren't moving during the book, having kids like getting up and walking over and coming closer to the book to see it, you know, and like wanting to be engaged in the book. And then, you know, as I brought yoga into my classroom and started allowing them to move through the story, I just saw such a transition of how much more engaged they were and how much more excited they were about the story, and you know, how much more they really were able to remember the story. Then we would close the book sometimes, and then we would go through the flow of what happened first and next and last, and they would do the poses again, and I would see such a change in how they took the story in more. So.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, like I think it, like what you're also kind of, it's related to like that kinesthetic, like learning, like when you're, you know, it, like internalizing it in your body.
Yes.
So you're absorbing the story, the plot, like everything. They're picking it up because they're actually living it and they're in it. And you know, that's, I think that's why we love reading, right? But this is just the ultimate form of, you
Yes.
know, learning and absorbing and keeping that, you know, story, bringing that story to life through your own, you know, your own movement, your own body.
Yes, absolutely. And so thank you for bringing your story to all the children that I mean, it's beautiful. And you've also become a book doula and mentor. So that's exciting, because now you're helping other authors like Margo Harris and Susan Rose, I know, are two of your mentees that you have worked with, and they've both been on the podcast. So I'm super excited to talk about that journey for you and where that came from, and tell us all about that.
Sure. So last year, like right around the time that everything started closing down, I had, after being a stay-at-home mom for about 2 years, I decided to, you know, try to kind of get back into, I wasn't sure, you know, because I had relocated from New Jersey. So, like, I didn't really know too much about Florida, what the interest would be for yoga. So, just kind of put it out there a little bit, some mommy and me classes in the park, and then everything shut down. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do? And so, you know, I just was like, okay, let's see. And then at around the same time, I had noticed another kids yoga podcast, which I know that that's kind of how we connected because I listened to an
Yes.
interview that you did with Jessica Mugis of the Kids Yoga Podcast. I was like really excited to see her. Like we connected through Instagram and I reached out to her and we had an interview where I shared a little bit about me and about my teaching, being a mom and also my book. And from that, Margot, as you mentioned, Margot Harris, she was also a guest on the podcast. I think the week after, but she reached out to me to, kind of ask if I had any, suggestions or advice for, her writing a children's book. And at the time, I had been thinking about, offering, mentoring because I really love, I love being a mentor. I've mentored, other children's yoga, children's yoga, teachers who, wanted to start up a business. So I've done some, business mentoring, but I just really love the idea of authors being able to find their voice and tell their story. And it's just been really, something very important to me, like as, as an author, finding my voice and, bringing Lucinda's voice, to the world. And so we embarked on this journey. Like I'd never, mentored an author before, but like I had tons of experience. I had self-published my own book. And it was a pretty long journey for me. And I just was really confident that, I could support someone in, taking that, going through that journey and just have, providing that support like every step of the way so that they could fulfill on their dream. Because, being an author for me was this dream that I, was able to, make happen. And I just love being able to support people and, living their dreams and finding their voice. And so that's how it all started.
It's so great, and I love the story of just how you connected, especially through Jessica's podcast. That's wonderful. But it's so great when we can take our own journey and how it took you to go through that process, and then you could take your experience and help others do it in a much shorter time frame, right?
Oh, definitely. A much, much shorter much, much shorter time frame.
So that's amazing to be able to take all of what you learned and how you, got your book out there and to help other authors get their books out there. I mean, like I said, I just your book's amazing, and so is Susan, and I just love children's books in general, but like I said, these books that include movement and getting our kids engaged are, I think, just so important. So thank you for this work that you're doing. It's really exciting.
Thank you.
So what else, anything else you would like to share with us, like how people can work with you and any offerings that you have?
So I on my website I have a mindful playbook for parents, teachers, caregivers that they can use in the classroom to it includes a visualization. So it's got some of these playful activities that we talked about, these simple playful activities. You can check that out at my on my website, Be Yoga, Be Love. And as far as with if there's anyone out there who has an idea for a book or would love to write a children's book, I also offer a complimentary call. So you can, reach me again on my website. You can just send me an email, or you can book a call actually directly on the children's book mentoring page. And, you know, or if you're on Instagram, send me a, you know, DM at Be Yoga, Be Love. And, you know, we can explore that and see if it's, you know, something that I can support you in.
Awesome. Well, I will link your website and your Instagram page in the show notes so that it's easy for people to find you. And again, thank you for all that you're doing. And thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us. I loved chatting with you, and let's definitely stay in touch.
Oh, definitely. Thank you, Kelly, for having me and for, you know, for this platform that you've created to not only spread, you know, kids yoga and mindfulness and make it accessible to, you know, parents and teachers and anyone who works with children, but just for creating community, because I think that especially with the pandemic, you know, things like the kids yoga conference and other festivals that I, you know, enjoy going to, or, you know, being a vendor at, or, you know, like we need that community, so that we can, you know, just like lean on each other, get support yes. from each other. We don't have to do it alone. And that's what I love that you're creating this, because, you know, we can all just interact and engage together and collaborate. You know, we just did a mindful book reading on Instagram with some of the authors that I've met through Instagram. And that's just amazing when we can all work together to support each other's work, but also to, you know, bring this, you know, into more homes, to more children, you know, globally. So that's something that is so important, because, you know, there are people listening to this podcast in other countries. And so we're just spreading all that yoga love. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. It's a joy and a passion to do it, to spread these tools, because I'm so passionate about it. But the connection that the community that's forming is, you know, just like been the icing on the cake for me. It's really been a beautiful process. So thank you for recognizing that. Have a great day.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me on my mission to spread peace and joy by introducing children and families to the power of yoga and mindfulness. I could not achieve this goal without all of you listening and trying these tips with the kids in your life. If you enjoyed this episode and found it helpful, please subscribe and leave me a review. If you would also suggest this podcast to parents and teachers, I would be so grateful. If you would like to connect with me, you can find me on Instagram at Mindful Moments for Families and on Facebook at Kidding Around Yoga with Kelly. For more information on my offered programs, such as yoga classes for children and adults, workshops and professional development, and corporate chair yoga, visit my website at kiddingaroundyoga.com/Kelly. I'll see you all here on our next episode, but in the meantime, remember, take a deep breath.